Yo.
Hey. Can you hear me?
You listening to Hashtag. W-A-W. What a week. Hey, what a week.
Week. Eita. Welcome to another edition of Wow, What a Week. This week, hanging out with one of my favorite DJs. She is incredible. She's probably one of the most booked DJs on this continent right now. If you're going to fight me about it, I'll be outside after this.
This is
Wow! What a Week.
What a Week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
So, I've been wanting to interview this woman for quite a while, actually. And I waited for the right moment. And the right moment is this beginning of the year. There's a euphoria about the beginning of the year. And because I study human beings, I'm like, the likelihood of her saying no in January at the end of the month is at zero. Because she's been on holiday, she's been on a break, and she needs to start the year on a big note. Please make some noise for one of my favorite DJs on the planet, Lamise Holworthy.
Yay!
Or somebody called you Lamise.
I get remixes of my name every other day.
What are the variants of your name that
I
you
think,
hear there?
Lamiazi.
Yeah, Lamwiti.
Lamwiti. It just gets really crazy.
What is in a name? Why did your mom call you Lamise? Did you ever ask?
So Lamise is an Islamic name.
Okay.
My mom is half Indian, half colored.
Mm.
And it means celestial. It means heavenly. Some people also say it means soft and delicate to touch.
Okay.
And
I'm sure Habi agrees with all of them.
Yeah, he does. But I think names are really important, Thato.
Yes.
And that is also why, when I was choosing, a stage name, my real name made more sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Tell us about growing up, your childhood, like memories, highlights of growing up.
Where do I start? Growing up, I grew up in a really happy home.
Yeah.
I come from love. I was raised by my mom and my stepdad, who went out of their way, even when we didn't have much, to make sure that my siblings and I were good, to make sure that we lacked for nothing.
Sure.
Why am I so nervous? So where does it start? I was born in Estres.
Okay.
And that is a predominantly colored area.
Yes, I know Estres.
In Pretoria.
Yes.
But my mom is from Laudium, and we moved there when I was, I think, 2 years old. So I grew up there, spent most of my childhood there. It was an interesting one. Mm. People think white people are racist, right? But Indian people are worse.
Mm.
Some colored people are just as racist.
Mm.
And I experienced the worst end of it all from
on both sides.
Family.
On both sides, yes.
You know? Because my mom literally had to choose between having me and her family.
Yes.
And she obviously chose me.
Okay, so your mom's side of the family is more Indian than
not. Yeah, more Indian.
Okay. So how did she end up in Estres, which is more of a colored neighborhood?
My dad.
Ah, okay.
My sibling's biological father.
Yes.
God bless that man.
Mm.
So my mom had me. She literally had to choose between me and her family.
Mm-hmm.
And
was it a problem that she'd had a child with a non-Indian?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was bad. Oh, Thato, it was terrible.
Does she tell you that maybe you didn't witness about what you went through because she had you with a non-Indian man?
Sometimes I feel like I'm over it.
Yeah.
Now that I'm older. I don't know why it is upsetting me now.
It doesn't end, dude.
But I'm not going to cry.
Yeah.
They wrote her off. She was
you brought
no longer
shame to the family.
Yeah.
So
I was literally the black sheep of the family, and it doesn't help. komuntu. I mean, I'm dark skinned.
Yeah.
I look black.
You don't have the good hair.
I don't have their kind of hair, you know? So that made it even worse.
Yeah.
And they would then tell people that I was a product of rape.
Oh, wow.
And that was just
You are
face.
Lying.
Yeah, no, it was that bad.
Oh, wow. So there's no way your mom had the agency to date or fall in love with a black man?
No.
Yeah.
So even that, you know, she had to hide for the longest time.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, but she chose me and she continues to choose me.
But even at school, depending on the schools you were at,
mm-hmm.
you were never Indian enough or black enough. How did you navigate that?
So one, kids are mean.
Yes.
Kids are, I want to say assholes, but...
No, kids can be the meanest people under the sun.
True. And I got to experience that firsthand.
So you're in Laudium.
Yeah.
You had and a then, school predominantly Indian kids.
So we moved.
Yeah.
And in grade four, Tato, you know, like I said, because my mom had raised me with so much love and... I could not tell the difference between my siblings and I.
Oh, yes.
You know, I was, how old was I in grade four? Grade, I think I was 10, mm. 9, 10.
Mm.
And that's around the time that I was introduced to you.
Yes.
So I used to listen to radio a lot and I loved house music.
Apparently you had a little radio. That
I did. That I had like a little hi-fi.
Yes.
You know, that my mom had gotten me and was in my room. But come grade four, I'm in this new school. I speak only English and Afrikaans, and that is where the questions start. Are you adopted?
Oh, wow.
No, why? Because you're black, and your siblings and your mom aren't. Is your mom the maid? No, why? Because you don't look like you know, the rest of your family members. And that is also where I heard, you know, the rape story for the first time, being a product of rape.
Wow.
From a cousin of mine who was Indian. And I was so excited to see this big cousin in school.
Mm.
And, you know, everyone's asking him, like, how's the new girl your cousin? Because she's black.
Yes.
And that is where, you know, he then says, look, it's a family secret. But this is it.
Oh, wow.
I call my mom, like, oh, bloody phone, like the house phone's the telco.
Yes.
She left work immediately because I'm super sensitive, always have been.
Mm.
So I'm super upset. I call my mom. She rushes home. Next thing I know, she is confronting family members. It is a big, it was war. And, you know, my mom has just always been ready and willing to go to war for me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Please put on your headphones. We got this here.
Emotional much, fresh. Tata to us all. But here goes. To the one who made me a mum and grandma, my firstborn, Lamise Mishka Mariam, a spirit animal, my mum, whose name she carries. No amount of words will ever explain the joy you brought into my life. You raised me to be a mother to you, Lushan, your brother, and Larise, your sister. This life we live is filled with abundance of love, health, and most of all, being God-fearing. The link and bond we share can never be undone. I love you always, your proud mama.
Your mom has shown up for you from day one, like you say.
Yeah.
Even as your DJ career is starting, she was there. Take us through that briefly.
So how I became a DJ, I initially wanted to become an entertainment lawyer because, you know, it was unheard of in our country.
Mm.
And when I was in matric, my sweet 16, my mom had gifted me with plane tickets to go study in New York.
Mm.
And she then gets retrenched. So this means...
New York is not happening.
Nothing is happening. It means pure darkness, like literal darkness, because the municipality would come and switch our electricity off. And now we're there, you know, sitting in the dark for weeks on end.
Mm.
So not only did it mean New York is no longer happening, it also meant studying at the time was impossible.
Mm.
And that is also where my migraine started, because I was so frustrated at home. And do you guys have a makeup artist to touch up? Because I came alone. Mine isn't yet.
We don't have a makeup artist. But
okay, that's a problem.
My guy, please, could we get some tissue, Kleenex, something to help? Ask yous.
I don't know why I'm so emotional today. I need to snap out of it. It's not cute.
It's okay to be emotional. Not cute is being mbogoto when you're hurting. That is not cute.
It doesn't hurt me anymore, though.
You know sometimes what hurts?
Uh-huh.
Not the event, but the fact that you had to go through that. Is often where we're looking for answers or trying to understand, why did I have to go through that?
But Tato, in hindsight, you know, there's so many things that I had to endure.
Yeah.
That my mom had to endure. And now that I'm older, now that, you know, God and Badimu Bakohai have shown up for me as much as they have, I understand. I understand why things had to be as tough as they were growing up. I understand why I wouldn't be who I am today had it not been for those things. I would have probably been a spoiled rich kid had I not been raised by my mom. I would have probably been an ass if I didn't know what it is like not to have.
What conversations are you having with mom or as a family as things are going from bad to worse? Mom has lost her job. Maspala is switching off the lights. Kwanyiwa. Like, what are you guys talking about? What are you...
Like, my mom would just always tell us how she was going to fix it. And we had no doubt that she would.
True.
You know, there were times where, because my mom cooked so well, she'd make us meals and ahunanama. But we wouldn't even notice because the food tastes so good.
True.
You know, my mom would make the most out of a little. So she would literally take us to McDonald's and, you know, the ice cream cone? It was 99 cents at the time. And that was like so exciting. Like
it's
the fact
treat.
That, yeah. We'd go to the movies, Tato. And my siblings and I would each have a backpack. And we'd stop at, you know, this shop that was opposite Stirland. And my mom would make us buy cool drink, crisp and sweets. And then we had to hide it in our bags. And only as I got older, I understood that the reason why we'd stop at the shop was because, you know, the treats at the cinema were so expensive. But in that moment, popcorn,
because
you have what you chose
in your
in your bag. You're good. So yeah, in the darkest of times, pun completely intended, my mom would literally tell us how she was going to fix it, and we had no doubt that she would.
Mom brings a man into your life when you're what, 11-ish?
12.
12.
Yeah.
Take us through that transition.
So Holworthy is my sibling's biological dad.
Yes.
And I got to experience more of a father from him.
May his soul rest in peace.
Yeah. You know, more of a father from him than my siblings did. Because life happened. He lost his job and then he became an alcoholic. And, you know, him and my mom then got divorced and my mom was a single parent for the longest time. And what I appreciate the most about my mom is even when she dated, she kept it away from her kids. You know, so she got us a house. And come 12. Mom then says, the day after my 12th birthday, actually, get dressed, I'm taking you to Santon. Like, I've just always been a liker of things. Taking you to Santon, there's someone I want you to meet. And she had been dating my dad at the time. And he then asks me for permission to marry my mom.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, yo, if you make her happy and you're clearly a good guy, then go ahead. And my mom always says she married him not because she loved him, but because he loved us. And my siblings and I finally got to experience, well, for me, it was my second time.
Sure.
But, you know, for my siblings, and I'm so glad, I'm so grateful, you know, for Eti. He passed away in 2019. You were at the funeral. And I'm so grateful that my siblings got to experience Lerato la Ntati.
Sure.
I am so glad that my mom got to experience not having to go through life alone. So yeah, come the age of 12, I met my dad. He was an amazing man. Raised my siblings and I until he took his last breath in 2019. Yeah.
But even losing him was a trauma and a half for the family.
It was. It was. It's also how we lost him.
Hence I'm saying.
You know, so I had just started dating Kulani. And my parents were always super strict. So I had never lived with a man before that. I had worked in Sun City, lived there for 2 years, lived on my own. And then I came back. I got Live Amp. And now my life is changing drastically. You know? And then I started dating Kulani. So I would go home, hang out with them a little, without them noticing. I mean, they could tell, all right.
So you moved out slowly.
Yeah. And like then on
an outfit at a time.
You know, an outfit or two. And on that day, Thato, my dad fetched my mom from work because we lived in Pretoria, but they both worked in Sunning Hill.
Sure.
And on that day, he kept on insisting that my mom should get her hair done. So they get home. He drops her off at the salon. He goes, he gets a few groceries, comes home, cooks. He was terrible at it. But insists that I eat, you know? And it was chicken wings and baked beans and I don't remember what else.
Yeah, that's a terrible combo.
Right?
Terrible combo.
But I ate anyway. I was meant to leave for Australia. And then he says, I know you hate flying. Pack books. Take whatever meds that's going to help you calm down. Take compression socks. Take frequent walks in the plane. I love you. I leave. And then a few hours later, I'm in the shower and Kulani says, your sister's calling you. And already I panic. I'm just like, there's no way she'd call me at this hour. So I answer and she says, she calls me Appa. Appa means teacher or older sister in Arabic. Please call an ambulance. I don't know what's happening. You know, he's on the floor and he can't breathe. So I call the ambulance and we rush home. And the minute we get there, it felt like a scene from the movie, Thato. Like there are two ambulances outside the house. Mabone achumile. And on my way there, I'm calling my aunts. I'm calling his brother. And, you know, just letting them know to go to the house. And I get there and they're trying to resuscitate my dad. And then it starts raining. And that is where he was pronounced dead. And the medic then says to me, because I'm like, but you guys didn't use, I didn't even, like, in that moment, you know, that machine thing the where they shock people.
The defibrillator, yeah.
And then she says to me, it's not like in the movies.
Yeah.
Like, you need a pulse first. And I lose it. And, you know, my mom is there and she's trying to be strong for us and. Yeah, that is how he passed away. And that was probably the most traumatic thing that my family and I had to go through.
Looking at how he raised and loved you guys, what is it about his parenting style you hope and pray Kulani brings to the kids that you guys are raising together?
They are actually so much alike. he was gentle.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he was a rapper.
No, the other guy. The other guy. My biological dad was more of a rapper.
Absolutely.
Just because Changa.
Exactly.
But Kulani is very gentle, but also very stern. Like, he knows when to put his foot down.
Sure.
He also just knows how to communicate.
Mm.
And I see a lot of my dad.
Sure.
in Kulani.
Mm.
So I have no doubt whatsoever.
Mm.
That ke khetile pila.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what upset me the most?
Mm-hmm.
About losing Bra Edi or Pa, as you called him, that, and I don't know how you manage expectations, because often we have expectations, especially of people around us, that at his funeral, I saw none of your industry colleagues, not even one. And for me, that hurt me for you, that the people you work with, but they can't even come and help you say goodbye to dad. I don't know if I'm overreaching or overthinking it.
You know, Tata, in that same breath, they weren't obliged to.
Mm.
And I think the sooner we learn that people are people, and, you know, they don't owe you anything. And just because you're a decent human being and just because you'd show up for them doesn't necessarily mean that they do the same for you.
Mm.
Is it right? No.
Mm.
Is it okay? No. But it is what it is.
Mm.
And, you know, in that moment, I was so caught up in grief and I was so focused on being there for my family that it hadn't really hit me.
Sure.
Until after.
Because
I remember you calling me the night before and... So we can't even say or blame being busy, because you had multiple gigs the night before. And then Kamata, you're just like, I know you're not sleeping because you guys are prepping for the funeral. I'm on my way from the last gig. I'm going to go freshen up. Supposed to fly to Durban, but we've pushed out my flight so that I'm able to be there.
Mm.
You know, and, you know, it is in moments like that where you realize that if people want to, they will.
Mm.
And... that is also why I move the way that I do.
Mm.
That is why I keep my circle as small as it is. That is why I understand that the people in our industry aren't really my friends.
Mm.
That we will be cordial with each other.
Sure.
But that's as far as it goes.
And often, sadly, with our industry, people as loyal as what they can get out of you.
True.
And the minute they can get less out of you, you will see less of them.
True. But I think that's just a people thing.
Mm.
I think that is just how people are wired.
Mm.
That
were animals, basically. That
where
I can eat, I will go. It's like a dog. Although dogs are probably more loyal than we are.
No, actually, dogs are definitely more
in
loyal.
In fact, dear dogs, I apologize. You guys are actually better than us.
Yeah, no, they are. And it, again, it just goes back to not having expectations.
Mm.
And just accepting people for who and what they are.
Absolutely. Got a message from your sister because she said she didn't want to send a voice note.
Mm-hmm.
My nyani. What's a nyani?
Ah, do you know why my sister calls me nyani?
Why?
So when I decided that I was going to take this DJing thing serious,
yeah.
There was a song at DJ Ganyani, Shigubu.
Yeah.
And then there's a part where the vocalist says, DJ Ganyani and some friends,
yeah.
Right?
Ooh-wee.
Yeah, and it started out as a joke. So she started calling me Ganyani, Jiggy Jiggy. Ganyani is now shortened to Nyani, and all these years later,
you're still Nyani.
She still calls me Nyani.
She says, my Nyani, sisters are the second version of a mother. She will give you advice, protect you, and scold you, but will never tolerate if someone hurts you. Nyani, you know your words, you know words fail me, mara wena la mis o star. Seeing you in your element gives me goosebumps till today. One wouldn't say you the teenager who used to listen to Fresh House Flavor on the little radio, Mom got you sucking your thumb.
Oh man, she had to.
All I can say is we're so proud of you, me Master Kent. Thank you for being my nyani, Gaurata, Mal, Manama. Remember, you are who you are always. You are who you always dreamt of being. It's your time to shine.
Oh, that is so sweet.
That was from Larise. Tell us about your relationship with your sister. Because you guys spend a ton of time together.
We do.
Yeah.
My siblings are my life.
Does hubby ever say, my family, how it of us space in?
I think he gets it. Wait. I think he gets it. Wait, Tato. I come from such a close-knit family.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, it was just my mom, my siblings, and I.
Mm.
Right? Mm. And again, it goes back to why I don't have a lot of friends. You know, the few that I do have been in my life for years, and I appreciate them so much. But when it comes to my siblings, and that is just how my mom raised us. You know, my mom, I remember, had always, because she was orphaned at the age of 12 and she was then raised by her aunt.
Mm.
And for the longest time, I never understood why my mom would always say, should anything happen to me, it is written in my will that you and your siblings are to go to a Christian home. And until you're 18, where you are now able to take your siblings and take care of them. I don't want you guys living with family.
Oh, wow.
And when you're a kid or when you're young and you're hearing these things, it sounds so scary.
And it's heavy.
It is heavy. And I'm so glad that my mom is still alive. You know, that I get to experience Lerato Lamme, that my mom gets to experience my son. Because I never got to experience, you know, my grandmom.
Sure.
So my siblings and I, that is just how we were raised. That is how I was wired, that I would have to take care of my siblings should anything happen to my mom. Mm. And they are and always will be my best friends.
Sure.
Yeah.
The family that has shown you and your mom and your siblings anything but love, where are they now? Do they ever reach out? Because now you're the famous cousin. Where is the family?
Tato, life is long, hey?
Mm.
Life is very long. I know that people like saying life is short, but life is long enough to for you to reap what you sow.
Sure.
And you know what thing? And life is not so kind to them.
Mm.
Is it something that I celebrate? No.
Mm-hmm.
Till this day, it always has been that way even. You know, I remember as a young child, I'd always ask my mom, but why do you do for them?
Yes.
When you know that.
Sure.
And she'd always explain that that is how God blesses you.
Mm-hmm.
When your heart is pure and you're able to do for, you know, those that have hurt you the most. You know, that is where your blessings come in.
Mm.
So, but then, and yeah, no, life is life. And then, Hona le baba itswabelang. I think the funniest of them are the ones that pretend or try to act like those things did not happen. And that is why I am as vocal as I am about these things. That is why I...
Yeah, just a young warning shot that...
No, a reminder.
Yes. This is where I come from. So you go to East London, and I know where it happened because you stood me up for one of my gigs.
What are you going to say? Kimoki kopaneng le Khulani?
So you go to East London.
Oh, man.
You go to East London. I booked you for an event.
Don't be that guy.
I booked her for my event at the Southern Sun in Sandton on a Sunday. And coincidentally, she and Khulani are in East London for an event. And she doesn't make her flight or my event.
I missed my flight.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
Okay.
Whatever happened in East London.
Where's the question?
You were like, let me stay another night. In your wildest dreams that weekend, did you think it would come this far?
No.
Yeah.
So I actually met Kulani in Nelspruit.
Mm.
Had the biggest crush on him in high school.
Mm.
Met him in Nelspruit in August. This was 2018, because we got married in 2019. Mm. 2018.
So this is the August, 2 months before I booked you for my event.
Okay. Nearly new love, Tato Batong.
Yes. No, I'm listening.
Man, surely you understand.
No, but I forgave you, and I also said because...
No, clearly not. The fact that you bring this up in every other conversation...
No, this is me name dropping for people to know that I've been a part of this journey from day one.
Mm.
Yeah, basically. It's just me name dropping. and the fact that it turned into what it has, that was God's plan.
It was.
You know what I mean? Mm. But looking back at that time, like I said, in your wildest dreams, it wasn't this, right?
No, it definitely wasn't. Mm. I mean, yeah, sure, I had a crush on this guy.
Sure.
And
how more night would come back happily happy.
That's so lame. So lame. Yeah, no, hum not the vanda.
Hum not the vanda.
Yeah, no, hum not the vanda.
No, like conga.
But no, I would never in my wildest dreams have dreamt of building all that we have together.
Mm.
Not then.
So, what's been the toughest challenge of this journey of starting a family now? I've met a guy and I realized it's serious. This is turning into something. There's still challenges.
So, one, having to do this life thing under a microscope.
Sure.
Would
I be wrong in saying half the time you put the stuff under the microscope yourself?
What do you mean?
Exactly that.
Choring, by that, posting pictures and videos?
Yeah.
Just like everyone else?
No, I'm asking.
No, I'm also asking.
Yeah.
Just like everyone else?
But you're not everyone else. You're Lamise Holworthy, dude. You are the Lamise.
And so, I own let me tell
you. So, for instance, if you show us your toe, we're going to speculate about the rest of the leg because you are who you are.
But see, that's the problem.
It's not that simple.
That's the problem, and we've normalized it.
Mm.
That is the problem, and I hate how people say, no, but celebrities asked for this, no?
Mm.
No? There is no one in their wildest nightmare.
Yeah.
Who would ask for what we're constantly subjected to?
For the scrutiny.
The scrutiny, yes. From complete strangers who don't know you from a bar of soap.
Sure.
And, you know, the hardest thing about being with Kulani was we're both public figures, right? Mm. And now you have to deal with speculations from complete strangers who have, you know, drawn up their own conclusion on what our relationship was at the time.
Sure.
So I got the, she's a homewrecker. Mm. She broke up his marriage.
Do you beat him up?
Oh, that too. No, Tata, that's not funny. He thinks it's funny, though.
No, that's why I am laughing with him.
No, he thinks it is hilarious. And with me, on the other hand, it breaks my heart. Fuck. Like, there are times where, of another Lamise beats up Kulichana thing.
Yeah.
I went from laughing with him to it actually worrying me.
Sure.
And I'll tell you why.
Mm.
How it started was, I'm out of social media, Leon. I had started working out because we had had a miscarriage.
Yeah, we'll get back to the miscarriage, yes.
So I started working out, and because I had gained weight, and it was obviously messing with my confidence.
Mm.
But now also the body shaming started, all right? And yeah, sure, bully me as much as you want to.
Mm.
It's okay.
But leave my people out of it.
Just leave my family out of it.
Mm.
You know? So I started boxing because, one, it was a workout, but it's also really therapeutic.
Mm.
And it started out as a, yo, lemizwa betayo, to a, yo, Kulichana should be careful, to a, kisho hor obeta Kulichana.
To She beats him up.
Mm. Right? And I've seen this thing so upsetting. That is how you see how quick people are to believe just anything.
It's on the internet.
As long as it's negative. As long as it's negative.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if dare you do something good, and you'll see how that is questioned. But if it is negative, you know, it is just easier to believe, and I guess.
And to spread.
And to spread.
Because it's juicy.
Yeah. So now you're caught between, do I speak out on it?
Yeah.
Do I let it be? And kurki, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Sure.
Because if you do, then she's being defensive. If you don't, then it's a case of, you know, surely it should be true. I mean, why aren't they saying anything about it? But in that same breath, how is it that there is no proof? But outside of that, I think what messes with me the most is how batong, not when my home is such a peaceful one. Not when I respect my husband as much as I do. Not when he respects me as much as he does. Not when it is as happy as it is, not only for us, for our kids, but for anyone, you know, that gets to experience us and experience us in our safe spaces.
In fact, one thing I've loved and appreciated about the family that Ma has built is how much love is there. Like, it's a ton. You can almost, it's palpable. Like, there's a ton of it. And I think your mom has done a fantastic job in that regard. And hopefully you guys will do it in your own places, in your own silos.
I mean, we try. I'm going to be honest with you. It is sometimes hard to break away from being Mwana Mama.
Sure.
Right? And throw in the fact that my mom is my manager. So I, one, speak to her every single day.
Sure.
I see her every other day because mom lives like 14 minutes away from me. My siblings live down the road from me.
Sure.
But I pray that someday I am able to... Oh, that I'm working on that, actually. And being less of a mama's baby now that I have a family of my own.
Yeah, because now you're building your own.
Yeah. But in that same breath, I'm so grateful that I still have her. And I hope that I'm able to multiply the love and the support and, you know, the village that she has built.
Sure.
Because outside of just family, mom could call you.
Sure.
And you jump at her call because of the kind of person that she is. And that is what I want to build. I want people to genuinely love me and extend, you know, hands when necessary. Solely based off the fact that I'm a good person and not because of who I am.
What's the biggest fight you guys have had about the direction of your career? Because she's your mother, but she's also your manager.
And that is a problem sometimes. Because I feel like my mom doesn't know how to detach from being my mom and sometimes just focus on being my manager.
Sure.
So she will always put my well-being, you know, first. My mom is of the, nope, you're not going to rush between gigs. I don't care how much they're offering.
Sure.
If there isn't enough travel time in between the gigs, then no, we're not doing it.
It's a suicide mission.
Yeah, we're not doing it. And you know, there are times when you're just like, dog, like, it's money. We could do with it. So sometimes I feel like my mom doesn't know how to detach. She doesn't know how to separate being my mom from my manager. And sometimes it is a blessing, and sometimes, I'm not going to say a curse, but sometimes it is an issue.
What has you, being a mom, taught you about your mom?
Mm, There's so much. But one, that she didn't always have it figured out. And
yeah, sometimes you're learning as you go, eh?
Yeah, no, I'm learning as I go. She didn't always have it figured out. But it makes me appreciate the fact that when she had every reason not to have me, every reason to get rid of me,
she chose
my mom
you.
Still chose me. Yeah. And she continued to choose me.
That's powerful.
And she didn't care what it cost her. She didn't care who it cost her. Because, you know, my mom ultimately had to choose between me and her family. So having Leano, I just get reminded, one, that ngwanaka a kopa ho tla mo lefatseng, because my mom says that all the time. And she says that that is why she went as hard as she did for my siblings and I, because she understood that none of us asked ho tla mo lefatseng, and that it was her responsibility as our mom, you know, to make sure that she was able to give us her best.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Given some of the struggles mom went through after being retrenched, the lights being switched off, sometimes you can't afford meat. What's your relationship with money and your relationship with scarcity because of that period you went through?
One, I don't have an emotional attachment or an emotional relationship with money. I am of the opinion that money comes and goes, and kamuko ikening etabua. But I'm also of the opinion that the money and all that I've been blessed with is meant to be shared. So it really doesn't make sense if I'm winning and I'm doing well and those around me are still stuck in the same place.
Yes.
Those around me being friends, family, be it the people that work for me. So I don't have an emotional attachment to it. But in terms of scarcity, and, you know, that is something that I saw my mom repeat, and subconsciously I see myself doing the same. So my mom has this thing where she buys in bulk. Right? Outside of the fact that she lives alone, my mom obatlo bona dilo. And you know, you ask her why, and she's just like, I'm so scared of running out.
Yes.
Because I know what it is like not to have.
So I'm sure COVID, you guys bought more toilet paper than anyone else.
Amongst everything else. But yeah, so subconsciously, I see how that translates to how I now live.
Yes.
I never want to find myself in a situation where kyaduma.
If I want it, I must be able to just open the door and it's there.
And that is why I work as hard as I do. And that is also something that I had to explain to Kulani. And I'm so glad that he gets it. I'm glad that he understands, you know, where it stems from. So I, yeah, that is where not having at the time has now affected me as an adult. Where I, like, I want to see.
I must see 6 months supply of something.
Something.
That won't go bad in 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Please put on your headphones. We have a voice note. It's not labeled, so I have no idea who we're playing right now.
5 years ago, I shot my shot, and today I'm living proof that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and favor from Mudimu. Wow. Wame. I believe you were made for me, though. But thank you for choosing me. Hape le hape. See what I did there. I've learned that love is action. I've learned that growth is intentional. Thank you for pouring into me. Thank you for who you are and what you do for others in the unseen hours. You are an amazing human being, and I'm just so lucky to have you as Motuami, as my wife. You know, congratulations on your first podcast experience. Let's go.
Dude, even I have tears in my eyes. That came from the heart. Yo.
Everything he does and says comes from the heart.
Mm.
That's just who...
How are you feeling listening to your man wax lyrical like that about you?
One, I can never get used to it.
Yeah.
Because any chance that Khulani gets, you know, Mutaka celebrates me.
Yes.
And he is constantly pouring and speaking life into me.
Mm.
Even at times where I doubt myself, even at times where I don't know if I'm coming or going, I know that Mutaka's got me, you know? And that is also how I knew that Khulani was the one.
True.
When we started dating, you know, outside of the fact that he was bigger and, you know, he had been a star for all these years. I mean, I had a crush on him. I had a picture of him on my wall. Just by the way.
He mustn't get it twisted.
No, I'm just saying, like, I had a wall.
A wall, you know, of fame.
A wall, not even a wall of fame. Like, just, you know, the kind of houses that I wanted.
Oh,
I
yes.
had bikes. I had cars. I had you. I had, like, that I looked up to.
You had a vision board before it was called a vision board.
Yeah.
Yes.
In my bedroom. And how I knew that Khulani was the guy for me is I had obviously just bagged Live Amp.
Yes.
So this now means fame for real.
Do you remember our conversation about Live Amp?
I do.
Yeah, because I remember one of the managers at the SABC had called me to vet you and asked me what I thought. And I was told to shut the fuck up, but I still called you.
You know, the hardest thing was pretending I didn't know.
Exactly, because by the time they called you again, I'd already told you.
But also, it still felt like I needed the call from them.
Yes.
But when you called me, I was just like, there's no way in hell that this is happening.
Mm.
So yeah, you know, getting Live Amp meant fame for real.
Sure.
This meant people now see you, millions of people are watching you on television.
And one episode, your life changes forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
True. And when we started dating, I don't know how Khulani does it, but he has a way where we'd be at my gigs and he would just allow me my moment.
Go into the background.
I don't know how. I still don't get it.
Mm.
Because, I mean, Khulichana ke star.
Exactly.
You know? But he has a way of just allowing me my moments to shine.
Mm.
And that is how I knew that this was the guy for me. Especially when you've been with men who try to dim your light.
Sure. Or you're a trophy.
That too.
Mm.
So, you know, just getting to do this life thing with him and knowing that he wakes up every day and he chooses me and he chooses our family is... so surreal.
It's shit movies are made of.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And I remember the first time he said he loved me.
Mm.
He said it via text because he was just so shy to say it.
Yeah, but now.
And he said whatever, whatever. And then he says, I love you, Mutawami. You are the best thing to happen to me since my daughter.
Oh, wow.
And I read it and I unread it.
Mm.
And I was panicking. I remember telling, you know, my friends. And then he calls me and he's like, did I say something wrong? Because I don't know how to respond to this. Emma. Like, I need to understand.
You're
like,
overwhelming
me. Wangrata. Is it like, wangrata ya Setswana? Like, you like me?
Yes.
Or is it like, love, love? And I actually said, like, love, love, like in the movies.
And is it, do you love me or are you in love with me?
Yeah.
There's also that.
There's that too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all these years later, I mean, we met in August. Mm. Started dating. And then a few months later, I can start my head. Yeah, we are.
As one does.
Yeah. Because look, this life thing has no manual.
Sure.
You could literally be with someone for 6, 7, 9, 10, 20 years.
Mm.
And that on its own, you could give him kids. But if it's not meant to be, it really isn't meant to be.
And on the flip side of that, generally within 2-3 months, you know if you're going to spend the rest of your life with that person or not. Like, you know. There's no doubt under the sun that you know by then.
True.
So, yes, if he hasn't proposed, then
no pressure, though.
It's not coming.
Don't be that guy.
The first time you guys fell pregnant wasn't a happy story.
No, it wasn't.
Let's talk about that.
So, well, we weren't trying, but we were already married, had been together for a few years, and I find out that I'm pregnant. You know, you go through all these emotions, you're scared, you're nervous, but in that same breath, I knew that I was safe because I had him.
Sure.
And I've always known that I wanted to start a family with him. And I then have a miscarriage. And
how far along were you, if you don't mind me asking?
Feeling dizzy.
Excuse.
I think 3-4 months. And all this after I had, again, social media. Now you have, you know, I'd have complete strangers talk smack when I'd post pictures with my daughter or videos with my daughter. On some busy week,
imagine.
You know?
Why is it so easy for people to spew such evil, though?
Because you'd think, they're hurt.
You'd think as Bana Babatu, as Africans, we're better than that and bigger than that.
Not anymore.
But but I've realized that generally there's a lot of evil being spewed out there, a lot of hatred, a lot of insensitivity. Nobody gives a damn about that. You're on your own. Bottom line is, you're on your own.
And you know the sad thing about that king, Thato, that I think will always just baffle me the most is, you know how before, but to never feel dilotsempi, like they were too ashamed to show.
To be hateful.
Mang mang waloya.
Sure.
Mang mang is a home wrecker. Mang mang is a prostitute. Mang mang is a criminal. And, you know, all those things were so shameful. But now, because of social media, you know, they've all become a lot more brazen, a lot more proud, simply because there are so many others like them.
Sure.
So the same way you have communities of really good people is the same way you have the total opposite.
Sure.
And the reason why they do it with no shame in the world is because they know that there are others like them.
Sure.
And because of social media, you now have these people, savage.
Sure.
Savage. You know, anything evil, anything not so great is seen as savage. The person who has the worst to say is celebrated the most because you're saying what we're all thinking. No, Swaba, you should be ashamed of it. It doesn't make it right. And I think it simply is because people are so broken, Thato. But to buy imetswe, and they use public figures as punching bags. You know, they try to inflict their insecurities and their pain on people that they don't know. They try to inflict all this damage because hoya ka bona, how dare Thato be so successful? You know? So I had the miscarriage, and you know, that was tough.
May I ask this? So you're having to deal with being called a homewrecker. And then you can't spend time with your daughter without people saying you're playing happy home with someone else's daughter, but you can't make your own child. Then you fall pregnant, and then a miscarriage
happens.
And then
happens. You lose, yeah.
What's happening up here?
So, Thato, I had convinced myself, you know, you end up questioning if because that's exactly what they'd say. You know, Babang would say she's barren. That is why she takes care of so many underprivileged orphans or ing. That is what barren people do. So you end up believing there's something wrong with you.
Mm.
Right? I had not come out and said it, but I remember when I was pregnant with Leano.
Mm.
And I wanted to protect my child with all that I had.
Mm.
And I remember being in disbelief. Like, every checkup felt like a dream.
Yes.
And then I remember Khulani asking me, Arkante, I don't remember what exactly my words were. You know, mm. I have this child and he is mine.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it hurt Khulani so much.
Mm.
And I remember he was quiet for a while. And then he says, can I ask you something? Mm. Yeah, sure. And then he's like, Kante, were you convinced that you can't have kids?
Mm.
And I think in that moment is where it hit me.
Mm.
I actually did believe to a certain extent that I can't have kids.
Mm. They'd won.
But in that same breath, Thato, I'm the same person that had always, you know, asked God, Hore, please bless me with kids when I am able to take care of them and give them the life that I had always dreamt of.
Mm.
And when I fell pregnant, now I see that that really wasn't the time.
Mm.
I see that both Khulani and I weren't in a good space, you know, as individuals.
Yes, yes.
You know, as a human being, the fact that I could still allow complete strangers to hurt me clearly means that I wasn't ready to bring life, you know, onto this earth.
Mm.
Because that would have meant that I was weak. You know, I wasn't as strong as I am right now. I wasn't strong enough to raise a child of my own in that moment. And as painful as that was, I'm grateful that it happened when it did. And, you know, Leano is... I turned 30 and my kid was conceived on my 30th birthday.
Let's celebrate.
Don't be that guy. I'm just saying.
Oh, it was birthday six. And there's nothing wrong.
You know my mom's going to watch this, right? And that was the hardest thing about admitting that you're pregnant.
So how do you think you got here?
No. I need you to understand. The hardest thing about admitting that you're pregnant is saying...
Now she knows.
Look, I am having sex.
Yeah.
I am having unprotected sex. And
we're not pulling out.
You know, so that was the hardest thing about admitting that I was pregnant. Kind of still is. But yeah, when we had our miscarriage, the most painful part is not realizing how much it had affected Khulani.
In fact, because I was actually going to talk about that often miscarriages after care and attention focuses on the woman, the one who was carrying, and often the dad is we almost assume the dad will be fine. You know what I mean? Lifika is what, 9? So before Lifika we tried again like 3 years prior, we had a miscarriage, and in my scramble to make sure she's fine, I forgot to look out for me and ask myself, have I dealt with a miscarriage? And I hadn't, because the focus was so much on her and not on me. How did you guys navigate it?
You know, the most painful part is realizing that Khulani had been dealing with loss so much that he had built up a wall. You know, he's lost so many friends. He had built up a wall because he was so used to having, you know, to be strong for everyone else.
Ah, yes.
That he hadn't allowed himself, you know, room to cry.
To grieve.
To grieve.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first time I actually saw Kulani cry was when Keenan passed.
Mm.
And you're sitting there and... what do you do?
Mm.
My biggest blessing is that Kulani wabua, you know, and he was able to help me speak about the loss. He was able to help me confront, you know, all that I had endured in that year. And that's just always been our biggest blessing. You know, he's helped me to communicate better. Because I have harbored so much, and then you realize that it makes you an angry person. So when you do speak, you are now speaking out of frustration. You are speaking out of hurt. You are speaking out of all these emotions that you had harbored and, you know, you hadn't communicated in the time or in that moment. So that is definitely something that helped us heal, was just that we were able to speak about it. He was so understanding, man. Like, even when... I remember I wanted surgery. He's just like, you don't need it. Yeah, but I want it. You know, and he was super supportive thereof.
What does surgery mean?
Oh, I wanted, because obviously I had gained weight.
Oh, after the miscarriage.
Yeah, and I think that was the worst thing, you know, as a woman. It's now having to deal with the baby fat and no baby. But outside of having to deal with the baby fat and no baby, it is having to deal with people spewing
the public most scrutiny.
Vile
yeah.
rubbish online. It is, okay, now I'm finally working out. And from body shaming me about my big thighs and the fact that I do not look like what society and the world deems the perfect woman. You know, I have this crazy haircut. I have a whole tattoo sleeve. I'm a DJ. You know, that is defying all that the world tells you to be.
Or expects of a black woman.
Of a, or a woman.
No, you guys are under more scrutiny
no, we
than
are.
Any other women on the planet.
We definitely are. And I always say that, you know, it is hard being black. It is hard being a woman. It is even harder being a black woman. Not in a world that is set up against us. Not in a world that is constantly attacking us. And how dare you try to be different? How dare you be you and not who I tell you to be?
How dare you have agency? Who gave you permission to think? You know?
So I felt that the gym thing was taking longer than I needed it to be. I had liposuction, and I am very honest about it, because look, Tato, there are women of all ages who look up to me, right? And sadly, social media is a blessing and a curse. So...
Oh, no, sorry to interject. It's actually weird how at every event that you go to, 90% of people screaming your name and taking pictures are women.
Yeah.
So we played at a 40th birthday party the other week, and every woman stood up when she walked into the building. Every woman.
And that is something that I can never get used to. And that is how I get so angry at myself for the times that I would allow the trolls or, you know, a handful of people online to make me feel like I wasn't enough. Not when I am loved as much as I am. Tato kya ratiwa. Like, I am supported by women. You know, powerful, strong black women from all walks of life. I have old women who are gods. you know, security guards outside, and they see me and they get excited and they're like, we follow you on TikTok. Or Umutleganje, you know, TV, Iogenzo, Ngati, you know, Mazulu's also, you know, like you're bigger, or Ing. And that is why it would be unfair of me to pretend to be something that I am not. It would be an injustice to the women who follow me and the women who tell me how much they look up to me not to be honest about these things.
Sure.
And that is why I'll post a picture and my cellulite is evident. Because I could edit it out and then you bump into me and I'm in shorts or a dress and now you're shocked that I don't look like the girl in the magazine or what I portray online. So that is why I say it, Kere. A lot of the women that make you guys feel inferior, or that you put yourselves, like you put yourself under pressure based off what you see online.
Sure.
And online, we're all superstars. Online, it's all one big fantasy.
Sure.
I literally show you what I want you to see.
So is this you saying no more surgery?
I mean, I still want to get more, but he's against it.
But you'll talk about it, though.
I will. I mean, I want a boob job.
What, up or down?
Aye, what?
I'm asking for a friend.
No, man, don't be that guy. But yeah, this is me. I've been very honest about it. I've been very vocal about it. I'm not going to sit here and get, oh, no, flat tummy tea.
And in the bigger scheme of things, you owe nobody an explanation.
I don't. But also, that is why I'm going to reiterate that I show you what I want you to see.
Sure.
But in that same breath, with who I am and who Badi Mubaka and God have, you know, the person that they created and what they want me to do, kipheta tailo. Like I always say that I am, this is bigger than me as an individual.
Sure.
Right? You see it in the amount of lives that I'm able to change.
It's a calling.
It is. And in that same breath, that is how I know that I'm chosen.
Yes.
When you're chosen, I mean, if, you know, for those who are Christian, and I always say, if people could crucify, you know, a man who was perfect, nakima.
Exactly.
So the only reason why I am as honest as I am, or at least I try to be, I try to be as honest as possible, is because that is me being true to myself.
Absolutely.
So no, it is not that I owe anyone anything, because I don't. I don't owe anyone answers. And that is why, you know, there's so many things that I'm only touching on now, because I'm sitting with you and you've created such a safe space for me outside of the podcast. Remember, I didn't want to do it. But because we've had
She was terrified. She's like, I don't want you.
Yeah, I know I was. And it's haunted me for a whole week, because I'm just like, ketloring mo. Like, you know when people... You know, a lot of people are watching to listen, to understand, to find comfort, to find inspiration. And then there are those who are just watching to hate.
Yes. So or to take afraid. A 10-second clip and say, yeah, she hates pigeons.
You know?
She's anti-dove.
So I was just so afraid. What do I say? That's a lot of English. But also, I'm not going to be a walking Instagram quote.
Sure.
And say what I think people want me to hear, what I think people want to hear. I can only be true to myself. Absolutely. I can only speak my truth.
Earlier you spoke about how post the miscarriage, you also realized how much loss Kulani had dealt with. You've dealt with your fair share of loss, though, especially Pretoria talent, and not just loss but violent deaths, you know, whether you're looking at somebody, looking at Mashata, I mean, these are your homeboys. What is what's happening in your head as all of these things are happening? There's conspiracy theories, there's a lot,
you know. The first one, it is feeling like you're not safe. Because of what we do in Ratsama Mashihu, is that this could happen to any one of us.
Sure.
You know? But the most painful part is outside of the fact that I had personal relationships with these people. I mean, I had known Opa since I was 16.
Yeah.
You know, he DJed at my sweet 16.
Mm.
Yes, but why him?
Mm.
Why them? Like, you know, I get that death is inevitable and, you know, we're all going to die someday.
Mm.
But not in that manner.
Mm.
You know, I think that'll just always haunt me, like, why it had to be as violent as it was.
Mm.
But also, if you guys are killing positive role models mm-hmm. for the black child,
mm-hmm.
positive role models for, you know, the average kid, Kokasi, then lirbasale leboma. And that's another reason why I try to be as honest as I am in who I am and what I do. And, you know, I will preach hard work any chance that I get. Mm. I will preach education any chance that I get, because I see that, again, on social media, too much light is being shone on the other side.
Mm.
This is why you have little girls and boys who no longer want to go through the stages of life.
Mm. They want to slay now.
Mm. You know, this is why you have teenage girls prostituting themselves for a designer bag and to be a part of the passport gang.
How dare you call it prostitution? I'm not selling myself.
It's hookups now.
Mm.
You know? So I think there really needs to be a shift in the kind of voices that are being heard.
Mm.
And we need to also just bring back the tlong again.
I think there's no chance that there'll ever be the tlong or feeling a bit of shame. It's too late, I believe. I don't think we can turn the train around. The best we can do is protect our children from it with information, in the hope they will use the information when they get to make decisions. Because we can't protect them from us out there. Sure. All we can do is arm them as much as possible with facts and affirmation and remind them that they're enough.
Mm.
And that you don't have to sleep with some dude for 20 grand because you want a bag.
Mm. So, you know, again, God bless my mom. Mm. Oh, God bless my mom. You know, there are certain things that happen, mobupilong, and you're just like, but one taida, why, sure. dog? Like, mm-hmm. I'm grown. I remember there was a time where I was working already, making my own money, and I was dating someone, and we were supposed to go abroad.
Mm.
And my mom's like, nope, you're not going. Kira, what do you mean? I know how much you earn. Kira, but are and shit hit the fan and something happens there, how do you plan on getting back home?
Mm.
And it broke me. It broke me because, yeah, sure, he ended up going with someone else. Mm. But fast forward to now.
Chance that you dodged the bullet then.
I did.
Mm.
Chances to now, like now, fast forward to now, I'm just like, I understand why my mom did what she did because it now also makes me appreciate everything that I have now.
Mm.
I now understand the importance of having your own.
Yes.
And that really no one can take it away from you.
Mm.
So I really hope that young girls get to see that.
Sure.
Because men will treat you like objects and spit you out the minute. Because remember Kale, Tata always say, Nebupila. Right now, everyone is beautiful.
Yeah.
All right?
Mm.
So now being the prettiest girl on its own is not enough.
It's not enough anymore. Yeah.
Because if you think being young and having a flat tummy or being light-skinned and, there's literally someone younger than you being produced every other day.
Mm.
So surely Bupila alone is not enough.
Have more to offer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Please put on your headphones. We're running out of time so fast.
Kale ke bolela ne?
No, it's enough.
Okay. Louise, my best friend,
oh, that's all good.
My love, my sugar bunch. Oh man, I have not enough words to truly capture the light that you are in this world, but I will try. My friend, you are a superstar. You are a force. You're a force of strength. You're a force of love, of pure magic. Oh, Lamiz, your hardworking spirit, your selflessness, and just the way you pour your heart into like everything you do inspires me every day. You give so much of yourself to your dreams, to your family, to your friends, and just to those who simply cross paths with you. And somehow in this midst of it all, you remain grounded, you remain warm and full of grace. Watching you step into motherhood has been nothing short of breathtaking. You were already a powerhouse, my friend, but seeing you embrace Liano with so much love, patience and devotion proves just how extraordinary you are. Your little one is beyond blessed to have you as a mother, a nurturer, a protector. You're literally everything to Liano, and I know he's everything to you. And as a wife, my dear one, you are a true partner in every sense of the word, embodying love in its most beautiful form. That means you're a rock star in every way, on the outside, and more importantly, in your soul. Your love knows no bounds. Your energy lifts those around you, and your heart is one of the rarest treasures this world has ever known. I love you. I celebrate you. I admire you.
Tell us about Olga.
Ah, craziest story.
How did you guys meet with Olga?
Craziest story. I met Olga at a gig in Polokwane.
Mm.
And she saw me and she was in the crowd and she cried.
Mm.
Right? And when I was done, she came and she wanted to hug me. And I remember the bouncers were just like, "Kerno
mutlukhele."
And, you know, I embraced her. "Kwenamang, don't cry, not because of me." Because it happens so, so often.
Mm.
You know, and when it happens, she's just like, "Na baby, gatlalohanya." Na kima jaji, gatlalohanya. And, you know, she was so emotional. And she then tells me her name. We have a brief chat. Olga. She DMs me again. Are, "Hi, odlala nako mang?" At, this is a few weeks later. "I'm going to drive from Polokwane just to listen to your set, and then I'm going to drive back." Kiri, no, it's not safe for you to drive back.
That's what fans do.
Right? Olga comes to the gig. She's dressed well. Upila. She's driving a nice car. Listens to me play in a corner. And she leaves. I see her again. Get hey, wena, you know? And then we exchange numbers and we start talking. And, you know, we then get to realize that we have so much in common. But outside of everything else, you know, she says how her husband actually introduced me to her. Because he's like, "Hey, man, huna le ngwanyana mong mo live am."
Sure.
She's so cool. I think uka morata, you know, she's the kind of rebel that you are.
Sure.
And she's been a part of my family ever since.
The rest is history.
Yeah. She is one of my most best friends. Her heart is so pure. And I'm so glad that I get to experience the kind of friendships that I have.
Put your headphones on.
Another one?
We're out of time, so we need to go through these. Listen to it and then tell us who it is and how you relate.
My bad, bro. I don't know if she's let people know this, but a lot of people don't know that Lamisa's favorite color is yellow, and her favorite flowers were sunflowers before Coolie China. I think since Coolie, because Mama Yen's, I know is a good man, has put her on to some roses and shit. But Lamisa's favorite flowers are sunflower, and her favorite color is yellow.
That's Alex from Gemelli.
You know, I'm sitting here, I'm just like, why I pop on there? Like, why is he trying to sound sexy? Because Musupi, stop. Mm. I've known Alex for years. Yeah. I love him. Mm. I love him so much. And it is so crazy because when I bought my first car, I got a Sirocco. And I remember calling my dad and Alex, and I'm just like, guys, I need to choose between an A-Class and the Sirocco. And Alex is like, yo, VW.
Sure.
Go for that car, blah, 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 inging. When I cut my hair, Apilar, I was special when I got a weave.
Yeah.
You know, I was special. It just, dude, cut your hair. Get the tattoos, because I'd already started getting tattoos.
Yes.
But he is one of my good friends. We were friends before Gemelli opened. When Gemelli was opening, he literally sent me videos of the space.
Sure.
Videos of when it was getting tiled. And, you know, all these years later, to see how well he is doing. And the fact that he is, he's like you, man. His heart is so pure. And anyone that gets to experience him has the same story to tell. And he's also just as consistent as you are. So I've been blessed with really cool friends. And yeah, I still love the color yellow. I think it's a bit more evident now.
I bought my daughter sunflowers just on Monday.
Uh-huh.
Because she loves sunflowers, because her mom loves sunflowers. So every 2 weeks I'll get her sunflowers for her room. So.
Oh, she's got good taste.
So you must come back to sunflowers. These roses.
No, I like tulips. These? I love tulips. I've actually got a tulip right there. Yeah, but I love flowers. I'm actually very soft and very
sensitive. You're a flower yourself.
And I'm a flower myself.
Exactly. Final voice note, and then we're going to wrap this. There we go.
Hello, DJ Lamiz.
Oh, that's lovely. Oh,
as I'd like to say, DJ Lamiz. Listen.
The funny show.
First time I saw you, I think, was about, what, 5 years, 6 years ago? And you were playing on it was, well, I don't know, I'd like to call it a concert, but it was like a Ballantine something, and yeah, you were DJing, Chief. I was like, hey, who's this girl? And they were like, yeah, she's from Pretoria. And I'm like, one day I'm gonna be friends with her. One day I'm going to be friends with her for some odd reason. There's something about the law of attraction. When you attract what you believe in, and I believed in you. And here we are. And I want you to know that you are one of the greatest people I've known. And you are the greatest stories in my life that I will forever tell. And thank you for being part of everyone's life. Thank you for showing up and showing off. You're a great friend. You're a great mother. You're a great daughter. You are a great wife. Well, Kuli will attest to that. But you're doing great, Lamiz. You keep on going. You keep on pushing. Like Ole Paralaka. And I believe in you so much, as much as you believe in all of us. Keep on keeping on. Go further. Go higher. And let nobody dim your light, because you were chosen. You cannot dim a person's light when they were chosen. Okay? Orata Joe. All right. Sharp.
That's the funny chef.
My best
friend. One of the, like, she's a cool chick, man.
She is. And, you know, outside of just, so a lot of people don't know how shy she is.
Yeah.
Lebohang is actually very shy. That's the one thing that her and I have in common. So we get very socially awkward. But her heart, man, I really have been blessed with the best. And I get to experience pure love from people who see me.
True.
Who know me. And, you know, people who are just able to remind me of who the fuck I am.
Yes.
At times where I doubt and question myself. And, you know, earlier on, Thato, you asked me, like, I don't know why I got upset. I think when I was telling you how I became a DJ. And then I was like, I'm not sad. I'm, you know, because I understand why. You know, because I understand that I was chosen. My mom knew why she had to have me. My mom knew why it was so important for me to be on this earth. And, you know, at times when you're going through things, it doesn't make sense why. So you sit there and you question, but Mudim, why did my mom have to lose her job? Why did my mom have to go through half of the things that she did? I mean, she was orphaned at the age of 12. Her dad died when she was 11. Mom was murdered at the age of 12. And she was then raised by her aunt. You sit there and you're just like, Kante, why did I have to lack? You know, but even though I did not have Tsalefatshe, I had love. I come from love, and that is why it is so easy for me to give love. I come from being raised by a man who wasn't my father biologically, but he loved my siblings and I. Kapelo ya hai e wotle. And that is why it is so easy for me to love my daughter. That is why it was so easy for me to raise her and live with her for 3 whole years, even though I had no knowledge of what being a parent was. You know? I come from love, and that is why it is so easy for me to pour out love and make sure that I'm spreading anything and everything that is positive.
You know what blows my mind the most is everything that you've said comes across in your DJ sets. Not every DJ has that ability to not only play a set, but play it with love you feel, even when you're not in that room. So you are chosen. Very few people would ever pull that off. Very few.
Thank you.
Thank so you. Shout out for that.
Thank you.
The other day,
you
and Bra Chico Twala broke the internet.
Wild, right?
let's close with that.
That is so wild. Do you know how that story was initially meant to break? How? My dad gets calls. Hi, we would like to confirm if whether or not you're having an affair with DJ Lamiz.
You're lying.
I promise you, because we were spotted go Melrose, just the two of us. And I said to him, get away to Papa, the way about to worship in Kate. Patlo Rajola.
Patlo Rajola, exactly.
All right, man, now Antoni dismisses it. And then he gets the second call. This is lazy journalism.
Yeah.
He hangs up. And then my mom gets a call, and she is in Zanzibar. It was her birthday. So I sent her to Zanzibar with my aunts.
And knowing your mom, she probably got very annoyed.
I know. She was her usual self.
Yeah.
My mom can get very vulgar. So I posted the picture first, but there was no caption.
True.
Simply because, you know, I was just like, I would rather get ahead of it. But also, this is my truth.
True.
And I'm not going to hide a big part of who I am because it's habakhorbatubatlore.
Exactly.
And DNA 99.9999.
As in there was an actual DNA test.
Look, that is my dad. Yeah. That is my dad. Such a cool guy. I am so blessed to get to connect with him now.
Why only now?
I can't speak for my mom. I can't speak for him. I was a mere fetus, you know? Life happened, and now as an adult, I understand. Again, as painful as it was not growing up with him, having to go through half of the things that I did, because you're just like, how horrible. If he was there, then maybe, you know, I would have been able to further my studies immediately after matric.
But you might have become half the woman you are now.
I don't think I would have, or I would be who I am if things were any different. And I'm just really grateful that him and I get to experience each other now. And that really is all that matters. That we're good. We don't owe anyone an explanation. I, again, am not going to hide parts of who I am.
Exactly.
And I think the funniest part about when news broke was, yeah, we've always known she's a nepotism baby. And
so it became that very fast.
Yes.
That train is never late.
No, it became a, oh, it makes sense why she's on Metro FM and was on SABC1.
You are lying.
And the nice thing is, Wabona, when you live your truth, I always say own your truth, stick to your truth, and those that know will fight for you.
Sure.
Own your truth and stick to it. So I had complete strangers up in my defense saying, if you guys don't know who Lamise is and how long she's been hustling, then shut up.
Absolutely.
If you guys don't know that Lamise would literally be taken to DJ gigs in a security van with Sarena, you know, if you don't know that she'd sit in lines at auditions, then please. So I am grateful now in hindsight that things turned out the way that they did, because it just makes me appreciate who I am and what I am so much more. But in that same breath, there's also nothing wrong with coming from privilege.
Absolutely.
I actually wish I came from privilege, and that is why I work as hard as I do to make sure that my kids shouldn't have to suffer.
And that's what we owe our kids. Work so hard that they don't have to go through half the shit you go through.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Just own it.
Yeah, so I think that is really important, that in as much as I didn't come from privilege, there is absolutely nothing wrong for those that had it easier than I did. Just because I suffered as much as I did on my come, it doesn't necessarily mean that everyone else should.
So I've got a concern.
Mm-hmm.
You struggle with isiZulu.
Isha.
So are you now having to learn Tsonga?
Hey, that is even harder. That is even harder.
Awesome. Papa, can we have a Tsonga song by the end of the year?
No, look, that is even harder. But, you know, the coolest thing about, you know, my dad and my paternal side of the family is just how warm they are and how much they've welcomed me. And how, you know, my late paternal grand would always say to my dad,
sure.
And is the one that has your gift.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, all these years later,
ta-da.
Again, it goes back to my mom knew why she had to have me. My mom knew why I had to become a DJ.
Sure.
She knew how much I loved music, but she also understood that it is a gift. And I am so grateful for that woman. I owe her my life. I am grateful to God for carrying me and carrying her.
Sure.
But I'm also grateful to my dad. You know, I, like I said, I cannot speak for them.
Sure.
But as an adult now, and, you know, having sat down with the both of them, I get it.
And that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. We have spoken an hour longer than we were meant to, and I don't mind.
What do you mean?
I'm serious. We've been at it, dude. We've been at it.
That's a lot of talking.
We are out of time, though. But I think first things first, on behalf of your legions of fans, thank you for agreeing to do this. Thank you for trusting me with this and your story and your narrative and everything you've been through. But I think more importantly, thank you for being love everywhere that you go. because those of us that know, those of us that see it. Baba, like, we don't give a fuck about them, actually.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Mm. And as far as I'm concerned, they can all eat a dick and die.
It's fine.
No. Actually, they'll have a baby. They can go have a baby about it. It's okay. We'll name the baby for them. You know what I mean? The bottom line is, your truth will always speak for you when you're not in the room. And that's all that matters, dude. Continue living your truth, walking your path, walking in your light, and most importantly, exploiting your gift to make the world a better place, because that's what you do.
Thank you.
So shout out to you, man.
Shout out to you.
And I'm proud to call you my friend.
I won't lie. Like, sometimes I'm just like, can't doubt why Lord Muto is in your life. Because it all still feels so surreal that, one, my idol is my friend, that I can call you and be on the phone for an hour and just have you pour life into me. But also that I get to sit here as a guest on your podcast, which means I'm important. Like, I've made it.
You've always been important.
But most importantly, you know, Tata, to anyone that's watching this, in a world so full of darkness, just always choose to be the light. And if you can't do that, just don't be an asshole. It really is that simple. If you are unable to spread anything that is positive, then at least have the decency to keep the vile vitriol to yourself. And again, social media is not a real place. People also need to stop projecting and trying to inflict their insecurities and their pain on others, because it doesn't make yours go away. And also, you have no business having an opinion on a life that is not yours,
or that doesn't even affect yours in the first place. Thank you.
Thank you. I love you. I appreciate you. I know I say this a lot, but I'm going to say it on air. And anyone that knows me knows just how much you changed my life. They know how much I appreciate you and how you just continue to pour into all of us. You're that guy. You're that guy, and I'm blessed to experience you.
So are we done now?
Yeah, because if we don't stop, then we're not going to stop. And I
absolutely.
I have to go do a school pickup.
I was going to say, you need to go back to your full-time job, Leano.
Yeah.
Yo, Leano has become your full-time job, ne?
No, he has. No, my kid is a handful. He's not even two yet.
Yeah.
No, Leano, all of us have spoke.
Yeah.
But my kid is the smartest. Like, he lights up every room. And I look at him in awe. Khore Modimo really deemed me worthy to carry that kid, to carry life, to bring him to this earth. And I can only pray that I'm able to give him the best mabuphelong, but also to raise him right. Because this world is a really dark place, Thato.
That is.
And if we aren't protecting our kids and we aren't feeding the right stuff to them, if we are not breathing life and we are not showing them just how powerful and unstoppable they are, and if we don't show them who they are, the world will then try to tell them or make that decision for them.
Absolutely.
And I refuse for that to happen to my kids.
On that note?
For real now.
On that note, you may leave the building.
Thank you. I love you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lamise Holworthy. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of Wow, What a Week. Wow, what a woman. What an interview. What a chat. What a DMC. Call it whatever you want to call it. Hopefully you're inspired. If you're not inspired, it's okay. You can also go die. There's nothing wrong with not being inspired by inspirational people. Coming to you from AM Studios, downtown Johannesburg, we are part of the Africa Podcast Network. Shout out to Trevor and his crew at Pezulu Works for the cinematography, and to Otis the Flo Fraser for all of our imaging. Keletso Modisa King is our executive producer, and we are out of here. Till next week, have a dope week in spite of yourselves.